The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
I don't know what it is, Rod. You just feel like celebrating tonight.
Yeah.
It's a celebration. Ha ha.
Just, man, you just feel like it. Huh? I wonder why. I don't know why. But oh.
Clemson do it again without Trevor versus Notre Dame. Reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. Wiangalele. I did it! Yay! DJ Wiangalele. That's their quarterback. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us in the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. You know, I still don't think I say Antetokounmpo right. I think I'm missing something there. Let me hear you say Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Rob. Giannis.
No, say Giannis Antetokounmpo. I don't think I'm saying it right. I still call him the freak, you know?
Are you adding a syllable? Now you're going to mess me up.
I don't know. It's only been 10 years he's been in the league. He's only won 2 MVPs. Why should I know? Who else? There's someone else like that. Wiangalele, if he turns into something, will join Antetokounmpo and someone else who we never really learned how to pronounce. Not really. Who is it? I mentioned it on First Take today, and I'm forgetting it already.
Uh-oh. NBA?
Maybe not. Is it major? Anyone in baseball, or maybe it's NFL? Is there anyone in the NFL whose name we can't pronounce?
Tua. Tua.
Yeah, that's who it was. Tagovailoa.
Yeah.
Tagovailoa. Everyone calls him Tua. No one wants to say Tagovailoa because even though we've been told 15 times, it's actually Tagovailoa. We see the spelling and we don't believe it. So we call him Tua. We call him the freak. We call him Giannis. We don't want to say Tagovailoa or Antetokounmpo. No. Which, I think I'm still saying wrong. If anyone knows how to say the freak's last name for real, let me know.
Saying your last name.
Right, I can't even say Kellerman because I can't slow down for the R in it. But if anyone knows how to say the Greek freak's last name properly, please let me know. Teach me how to do it because, again, he's only been in the league for 6 years and has won 2 MVPs. I only use his name like 15 times a day, so Wiangalele, that's the latest one. We're all going to call him DJ. But Wiangalele, I could do. That's actually not hard. It's hard to remember at first, but it's not hard to say. Antetokounmpo, I have a problem making my mouth say all the different syllables. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Buckle up a little bit later. We're going to fly through the NFL whip around. We're going to do it soon in this segment. Be a part of the Max Kellerman Nation. I did it again. I don't even know the name of my own country. It's Max Kellerman Nation. Not the Max Kellerman Nation. Raj, that sounds wrong.
Without the.
On the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. It's official. College football's back. And so is your favorite Dr. Pepper-loving college football town, Fansville. Head to a store near you to treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today. First, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers took care of business, boy. Oof. I know, well, you know, the Niners don't have their quarterback, and they're all banged up. Look, Bill Barnwell has a great piece on ESPN.com about why the Niners might move on from Garoppolo. The cliff notes are they don't take a cap hit. They're done paying him the guaranteed money. His advanced metrics are not good. Like, he doesn't take a lot of shots down the field. When he does, he's not very good at it. It's not like his short yardage numbers are off the charts that make you go, oh my God, it compensates for it. And in addition to that, he's injury prone. That's a pretty good argument. Let me make the kind of meathead, casual, old-timey sports writer type argument, like the really stupid argument that tells you, boy, this guy belongs as a dinosaur from another age. I grew up reading guys like this in the paper. It's like, wait, every 12-year-old knows more about this guy in the local paper. Why is he writing about sports? Because he's talking to the other old stupid people who don't know anything, right? But and yet, you know, part of that's in me now. Part of that's in me now. I can't help it. I know quarterback one-loss records are sort of like pitcher one-loss records. which I think have become actually underrated. Although in this era, guys really don't pitch deep into games at all, so maybe they're not. But quarterback one-loss records mean something to me. I think that, especially in today's game, they have such an outsized impact on wins and losses, on success for your team. Like, all the great teams have a successful coach-quarterback combination. Those are the elite teams year in and year out, even if other parts of the team are no good. The Seahawks and the Packers are, you know, last 5 or 6 years, they've had down years, but the down years aren't like 2 and 3 win years, you know? They're 6 and 7 win seasons. That's like an awful year for them. And then they have a lot of double-digit win seasons. Quarterback coach, and obviously Belichick and Brady in New England, and there are other examples, Breeze and Sean Payton. Jimmy Garoppolo, I do this every time I talk about him. I'm sorry, if he's just kind of replacement level, then Mullins or whoever replaces him should be able to keep their head above water. But again, he joined a team that could not win. They were losing every game. He went 5-0, he got hurt. The next season, he missed. They lost 12 or 13 games. The next season, he came back. They won 12 or 13 games. It was the exact reversal of fortune. And they went to the Super Bowl, and he had a lead in the fourth quarter. And if he hits Emmanuel Sanders, he's a hero. Came down to one pass. And this year so far, guys, let's not forget, the games he lost, like, what do they have? They're 4-5 now, right? But 3 of those 5 losses, Jimmy G is either hurt in the game, obviously, like there's something wrong, or he's not playing in the game. 3 of the 5 losses. At his one loss record, really. Yeah, Raj. You have something to say? No, you rang the bell accidentally?
You were just testing stuff off the air. You know, go ahead. Do your thing, man.
So Jimmy G, Garoppolo, has something like a 24-8 regular season record. But again, there were a couple games in there this season where it's like, come on, man, he's not right. When he was right, I don't know, they got a decent win against the Rams, didn't they? But, I mean, look, the deciding factor in terms of the Niners moving on from him may be the injuries, right? Like, there's not a huge margin for error. I just gave you the one loss record and how it's not coincidence that when he plays, they win almost every game, and when he doesn't play, they lose almost every game. But then for a guy like that, who's kind of doing it with spit and bubble gum, right? He's sort of doing it with smoke and mirrors. Barnwell has documented it well, or gave you the stats well. He doesn't take a lot of shots down the field. He's not that good when he does. And then his completion percentage isn't exactly through the roof otherwise, right? Kind of middle of the pack QBR kind of guy. That guy should at least be healthy, right? He's not. But unless the Niners get someone better than him, you got to stay. Like, who's going to be better than him? Shanahan tried to run that offense with some other guys. It wasn't not, you know, it didn't work. It worked with Garoppolo. Meantime, Aaron Rodgers is balling out of control, as is Russell Wilson. And if you said who's the best quarterback in the NFL over the last half dozen years, the answer is Russell Wilson. If you said who has been the most valuable quarterback in the last half decade, best quarterback in the NFL over a half decade span, Russell Wilson. And he's never won an MVP. And he's on pace to like break the touchdown record this year. And his team only has one loss, and they could have easily won that game. It came down to one play in overtime to the second place team in the division. That's the only loss this year. And there's a strong kind of sentiment that, hey, give Russell Wilson his MVP. He's never won it. And Rodgers also, what a comeback year compared to the down stats last year. I hate to tell everyone, Mahomes is better than both those dudes today, and he's having a better season than both those dudes today. Right now, Mahomes is your NFL MVP. Pretty clearly, 21 touchdowns, 1 INT, 21-1. You know what his adjusted average yards per pass is? Number one in the NFL. Touchdown interception ratio by far number one. QBR, number one. Patrick Mahomes, the reigning Super Bowl MVP coming off the MVP the first time he ever touched the ball 2 years ago. Regular season MVP, 50 touchdowns. Super Bowl MVP, followed it up by having a better year than Rodgers or Russell Wilson so far, both maybe having their career years. I know. And by the way, we've had Casey Joyner, the football scientist, on this show, Raj, and he said the Chiefs want to avoid shootouts, like give the ball to Hilaire a lot. Now, that may cut down on Mahomes' interceptions, but it also probably cuts down on his touchdowns and yards. He's got 21 touchdowns. So let's say he would have had 30% more touchdowns and 30% more interceptions had he been playing in a less conservative offense. He'd have 27 touchdowns and 1.3 interceptions. That's ridiculous. That was Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less, only at Walmart.
You know what time it is, Max?
What time is it, Raj?
It's time for NFL Whip Around, baby!
All right, NFL Whip Around. Let's do it.
And Bills.
You notice, anyone notice how the Bills can't score any points at all this year? And their defense is maybe not quite what you thought it would be, is it? But the Seahawks have to travel to Buffalo, and they are the favorites. Raj, I smell an upset. KC Joyner, the football scientist, came on this show and said Josh Allen. Remember I asked him about his fantasy sleeper, basically, and he took Josh Allen? And I was thinking about calling an upset in this game. One thing that Russell Wilson's doing very impressively is he's being asked to win all the shootouts, and he's doing it. But now he's coming up against a team whose quarterback may be able to exploit Russell Wilson's secondary at the same time that he's facing a defense that maybe can get something done. And they're at home. I like the Bills in an upset. So there it is.
What do we got next?
Bears and Titans.
Listen, the Tennessee Titans are excellent. They're excellent. Stop Derrick Henry from running the ball. Ryan Tannehill can beat you. Ryan Tannehill is not a mirage. He was a first-round bust. There's no other way to put it. A bust. It wasn't like Alex Smith every year there's another head coach, offensive coordinator, and da-da-da-da. No. It was years of like, what's going on with this? Is he ever going to be any good? The answer was no. Just when we all gave up on him, it turns out he's very good. He's very good. And the Tennessee Titans are a much better overall team. Well-rounded, I should say, team than the Bears. Raj, I'm picking the Bears.
Oh,
I'm taking the Bears in another upset. The Bears, to me, have a special defense that, even though it's doing very well, it's rated highly this year, still hasn't played up to their potential. I think the Bears, by the end of the season, have the kind of defense that we remember. And the offensive line has been awful. But you know something about offensive lines? They tend to get better over the course of a season if they can stay healthy because they get chemistry. And that can sometimes overcome a lack of talent. And it's not that they'll ever be good, but they just need to be a little better for Nick Foles to be better on third down. I like the Bears.
Tom!
Ravens and Colts.
The Ravens really need to win this game, Raj. They really need to win this game.
They got to have it.
Colts are a bad team at home to try to get healthy against, though.
That defense is real. Colts play real defense, man.
It is real. But the Ravens don't actually have to have this game. And besides which, when I tell you that Lamar Jackson is 24-1 against everyone else, that everyone else included the Patriots with Tom Brady, the Seahawks with Russell Wilson, a lot of excellent teams that Lamar Jackson beat. His issue is not beating good teams or good defenses. I want everyone to get this straight. Don't get it twisted. Don't get this bent. He can beat excellent teams. He can beat teams who know how to defend him. He can beat excellent defenses. He has a problem with the must-win games. You must beat the Steelers in the rivalry game when they get Roethlisberger back. If you're a Ravens quarterback, two things you got to do. Beat the Chiefs, beat the Steelers, win playoff games. He can't do any of those things. He can do everything else. Go ahead.
Panthers.
So he's going to beat the Colts. Good.
Stop it.
Ravens over
the
Colts.
10 yards. Loss it down. Damn. Hey, you got McCaffrey. McCaffrey might be coming back, dog. We don't know about 4 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow. Mm. Panthers and Chiefs. What you thinking? Mm-hmm.
Chiefs. Next.
Next game.
Go ahead. I'm serious. I'm done. I'm not going to do commentary. It's beneath me.
At Chargers.
This is interesting, Raj. The Chargers have shown, have hit higher heights. Sorry, excuse me. The Raiders have hit higher heights than the Chargers this season.
Mm-hmm.
But Justin Herbert, let's be honest. I'm not talking about the feeling you get from watching him. I get it. You watch Joe Burrow and you go, I just got a feeling that I'm not watching Joe Burrow. I'm watching Joe Montana, right? He's got that thing.
Yeah.
Beware of that. Like, if there are two guys and you're basing your whole thing on that kind of feeling he gives you, Justin Herbert's been the best rookie quarterback in football. And the truth is, it has not been particularly close. If you ask me going forward who I'd want, maybe it would be Burrow. So far in the NFL, Justin Herbert is the truth.
Ooh.
But Raj, the Chargers have built a franchise based on losing games they look like they're going to win. And I think this is another one. I think Justin Herbert's going to have a great game. I think it's going to look like the Chargers are going to win one against the quality team and a rival. It ain't going to happen. Raiders are going to beat them. By the way, so far I may have picked every single game wrong. I have misgivings about every single prediction. Who's next?
Steelers and Cowboys.
Max, we got a televised scrimmage, but we're going to watch it anyway. Talk to me.
Believe it or not, I think the Steelers are going to kill them, Raj.
Mm-hmm.
See the misdirection? Wait, that's the joke. Like, believe it or not. And then I say the thing everyone knows. You ruined it by not getting the joke.
You caught me with my mouth open. I was ready. I was all like, whoa, how's he think the Cowboys going to win this and blow the draft pick?
I'll give one thing to McCarthy. Mike McCarthy had the Cowboys ready to play the Eagles. Remember that first possession? They took the game. They took the ball right down, and they wound up kicking a field goal. But they put points on the board right away. I felt like he had coached, like, with all the talk about how in Mike McCarthy on the hot seat already, I felt like he coached them up. Ain't going to be enough against the second best team in the AFC. I mean, when they made that trade for Minkah Fitzpatrick to an already good defense, you thought, oh, that could be a tipping point. And then they lost Roethlisberger, but the defense was good enough that even with no one at quarterback, Mike Tomlin coached that team to 8-8. Now they have Roethlisberger back, and they got Claypool. They're going to destroy the Cowboys.
Yeah,
and by the
way,
Cowboys don't have an offensive line anymore. That's the number one thing. They haven't had much of a defense, but the O-line's gone.
All right, game of the week. Come on, talk to me.
Oh, this is so good. Oh, this game. This is the fun one this weekend. Saints and Bucks.
Bucks have Saints a better at Buccaneers.
Bucks have a better defense, but Saints picked up Quan Alexander, linebacker, should help them. He's good. And they're getting Michael Thomas back, and they're getting Emmanuel Sanders back. So now we finally see the Saints as we were supposed to see them. And therefore, Raj, Bucks are going to win. The problem is this. Thomas and Sanders haven't been playing. We saw what Rodgers looked like against the Bucks when he got Devontae Adams back. He's trying to feed him the ball a little bit, trying to force it a little bit. The Bucks defense took advantage. I think we see the same thing here. I think Breeze just getting his weapons back. They're trying to get their feet under them. I think it's the wrong team to do that against. A Bucks team, which may be peaking now. They've been playing, I know, against the Giants, but the Giants get after it on defense. They've been playing excellent football, the Bucks have. And adding AB, it's not quite the same. Well, what about Tom Brady? He's adding AB. It's going to take him time. No, because AB doesn't have to do too much. And we saw what happened with the Patriots. AB walked onto that team having spent the preseason with the Raiders, had a couple days to practice, caught four first downs, including a TD, right? And they don't really need him to do more than that. I like the Bucks.
All right. Last game. Monday Night Football. Hit it on me.
Patriots and Jets.
This is this you better get right game. Cam better get right versus the Jets, man. I'm telling you.
He will. Cam's going to beat the Jets. Cam Newton, again, two plays this season. Changed two plays. And the entire narrative of the season is different. Instead of 2-5, what are they, 2-5? Yeah, 2-5. Mm-hmm. They're 4-3. If Cam punches that in, that goal line stand the Seahawks made, the play Bobby Wagner made, if Cam punches that in, they beat Seattle. And if he doesn't fumble the ball against the Bills and they beat the Bills, we're looking at this Patriots team completely differently. Oh, wait a minute. Cam beat the Raiders? and the Dolphins and the Bills and the Seahawks, and he's 4-3. But instead, because of those two plays, we have a totally different story. I believe Cam is better than he's shown, and I think I gotta believe he's gonna beat the Jets.
All right, there you go, the NFL whip around. Let's see, man. Underdog Max today, man. You picked a lot of underdogs.
I did. Fearless.
All right.
Fearless predictions. And we know that when you predict the NFL midseason, everyone remembers every game you picked. So it's a big deal to climb out on a limb. No one remembers anything. And by the way, if I get any of these wrong, I'm going to deny it.
Yeah, who cares? And you know what's going to happen, though, Max? Just like our power rankings, people are going to start doing NFL whip arounds, like going through all the NFL games quickly with the music that we just discovered.
Yeah, that's the thing. As long as they don't play the NFL music behind the quick hits,
I'm
all right. Because it's such a good idea, I know people are going to imitate. And that's the sincerest form of flattery. First, they took our power rankings. a lot of guys like change the name of power rankings, but some people just keep calling it power rankings. Shameless. And they're going to start doing a whip. You're right, Rog. You know what? That's where I draw the line. If they start doing NFL whip arounds and they put the NFL music behind it, I better not hear any other radio show doing that. I mean, how much can I take? Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. We do not talk college football often enough on this show, but number one Clemson is playing Notre Dame, and it's too big to ignore. Wiangalele. I did it, didn't I, Raj? I did it again.
Good job, boy. You're all right.
I did it again.
You show prep?
Showing off at this point. Wiangalele. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. This past season, technology took sports viewership to the next level. The NBA featured digital fans in the stands to watch the games virtually and pump the players up, for example. But when it comes to hiring, there's one solution that's been advancing its technology for years, and that's ZipRecruiter. And now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Max. ZipRecruiter's technology identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. I didn't tell you this, Raj, but the ZipRecruiter people took me to the mainframe where it all happens, and I got to check it out. First of all, they took out this little canister, and they sprayed me, and I passed out. And the next thing I knew is I woke up, and I was in this underground kind of cavernous thing with these poles. It was weird. And then I went to this computer, and it was...
Hurry up, man.
There were little bat emblems all over the place, and it kept spitting out any answer I needed. Or I might be confusing this with the Adam West Batman, but it was one or the other. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Max. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Max. Clemson, Notre Dame next.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Devontae Adams, the best wide receiver in football? He thinks he is. No doubt, a little later. Reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join me on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Number 1 Clemson versus number 4 Notre Dame. Can DJ Wiangalele repeat his performance against Notre Dame's defense? It was really the Clemson defense that was the problem. Last week against BC, they they didn't really stop anything early. Wiangalele played well. You could see the dude's an athlete, but what did he throw for? He threw for over 300 yards, a couple touchdowns, ran another one in. And you know, captain to comeback. It's pretty good. You're replacing, you know, Trevor Lawrence, and you fall down, and yet your team wins. I know. Clemson came out a little flat. Still, now Notre Dame, that's a different story. Ian Book, another guy who can run at quarterback. Uiagalelei for real? You beat Notre Dame in what, your second start? It's pretty good. And Notre Dame, obviously, like the Clemson defense, is going to have to be much better than they just were. And they're going to have to shut down the run. If Notre Dame can run it on them, it's going to be an interesting game. I mean, Notre Dame's not ranked fourth for nothing. So, like, you could talk about the quarterback or quarterbacks, but really it could come down to the defense. Clemson comes out flat, and Notre Dame is, you know, not worried about it, and they're moving the ball, running the ball. They could win the game. How Notre Dame beats Clemson. This is Tom Luginbill on ESPN, or ESPN college football analyst on Freddie and Fitzsimmons.
Notre Dame needs to come into this game, and they've got to do some things, and it's gonna involve taking some risks. They've got to do some things to get DJ off platform. Don't allow him to have the easy read. Force him to work into progressions. Now, I saw the quote from Dabo Sweeney today that said, you know, there's nothing in our offense that DJ can't do that Trevor does.
Right.
Okay, well, maybe not. Maybe the whole entire offense is open to him. But I can tell you this, DJ hasn't seen any of the things that Trevor has seen in terms of what people throw at you. And so I think it's up to Notre Dame. That's the whole key to me. If you let DJ get into a rhythm and you don't try to get him to hold onto the ball or to second guess or to have to work through progressions, then you're giving the game away.
I don't know. He's focusing on Uiagalelei, and I understand that that's the kind of story. But it's not like Ian Book can't play, and he can really run. And to me, it's actually much more about the Clemson defense. That was the trouble spot against BC, and that's what's going to have to control the way Notre Dame is going to want to play. Major League Baseball, MLB Network reports that the Red Sox are rehiring Alex Cora to be their manager. Alex Cora, of course, former second baseman for a long time, 45 years old, now led the Red Sox to the 2018 World Series, unfortunately. That's a very bad thing that whenever the Red Sox win, we all know this. It was his first year as manager. In 2020, in January, the sides parted ways following the league's investigation into the Houston Astros' illegal sign-stealing scheme. Raj, now that they're hiring Cora back, the Red Sox might start cheating. I need something to help my Yankees. You know what I'm saying? I need something.
You might need to quit choking in the playoffs, man. All that money you guys are spending. I mean, let these bats come through in the playoffs.
Listen, it's hard to win in the playoffs when guys are recording, you know, when guys know what's coming. You remember, I was like, damn, Altuve might be the best I've seen. Like, when I was a kid, I saw Joe Morgan, but he was really past his best by the time I was really aware. So I saw Ryan Sandberg at his best. I saw Roberto Alomar at his best. I've seen, you know, like some great second basemen. Altuve, and by the way, Chase Utley for 3 or 4 years there was maybe the best. Altuve, I'm like, okay, maybe he's the best actually I've ever seen. And what a clutch performer. It was unbelievable. And he's crossing home plate with the wires you see in the shirt and the pictures, and he's not letting him rip off his shirt because he's saying his wife would say something about it. Uh-huh. I wonder how he knew what was coming. Did it have something to do with a camera in center field? So, yeah, Raj, the Yankees didn't win in 2017. Because the other team was cheating. By the way, Yankees fans, just remember this. That series went 7 freaking games, okay? Houston had home field. Think about this. All the games in Houston were close, and they were cheating. They cheated us out of it. The games at Yankee Stadium, Yankees beat the brakes off those guys. Beat the brakes off them. Meaning when you took Houston's cheating away, Yankees were just a better team. Houston was winning one-run games with walk-off hits at home and getting curb-stomped in the Bronx. Oh, I wonder why that is. And then they were found cheating. So, Raj, Yankees should have been in the World Series that year. I know Dodgers fans are really upset about that, too. You're right. We should have had Yankees-Dodgers that year. And now Alex Cora, cheater, is at the helm of the Red Sox, who won in 2018. You know what drives me crazy? I know this is a little what the hell am I trying to say when you diverge? A tangent. It's tangential. Since 2004, the Red Sox have won four World Series. The Yankees have won one. New York Yankees, Brian Cashman's not doing a good enough job, period. I want to be very clear about this. He's an excellent GM. He is among the best in baseball, but he's clearly not the best. And if you're the New York Yankees, there is no excuse for not having the best. There is no salary cap. This is by far not even close the most successful franchise in the history of American team sports. You play in the number one market in the world. You're the richest team by far. And now I know, Cashman, if you're listening, I know that you can't win the World Series every year. I get it. And I think you're an excellent GM. But that's not good enough. You shouldn't have the job if you're not the best GM. And you're clearly not the best GM because, clearly not the best, because it's one thing not to win it every year. I don't expect it. I insist that over any 15-year period, the Yankees win it more than anyone else. That's a must. But let me tell you what's even more of a must than that. Surely you must win it more than the Red Sox in a 15-year period. And let me tell you what's more important than that. You can't let the Red Sox beat you 4-1 over 15 years. 4-1? There is no excuse. None. So my take on Joey Cora being hired is Cashman do better. You ain't doing a good enough job, period. Notre Dame Clemson preview is brought to you by Allstate. Get better protected with Allstate. You've never been in better hands. 888-SAY-ESPN. You want to talk about Notre Dame and Clemson? You want to talk about Joey Cora? You want to talk about the Yankees? You want to talk about what? What did we start the show with? I can't even remember. It's a good football game. We didn't start with the Bucks and Saints, Raj.
No, we started with the Packers and 49ers.
But, that's right.
Yes, but that's coming up at the top of the hour.
Just Jimmy Garoppolo, Aaron Rodgers, we can talk about a lot right now.
No, we can't.
Don't ever interrupt me again, Raj. Justin Fields or Trevor going number one, no doubt, is next. Starting Monday, you can stream the Max Kellerman Show daily on ESPN+. With ESPN+, you can stream the Dan Lebatard Show with Stu Gatz. You can stream Greeny. You can stream Shanae and Golic Jr. And you also get live sports, exclusive originals, and more. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com. As always, you can hear us on ESPN radio stations all across the country for the perfect price of free 99. Raj, it's my favorite price, free 99. And also SiriusXM and the ESPN app, no doubt, coming up.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, your smart speaker. How's AB going to fit in with the Bucks? Going to get into that soon. Reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is brought to you by Shell. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE5W30. Gonna get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think it means.
No doubt.
All right.
Hey,
right.
Max,
let's get this money. Come on.
That's right. Take a listen to our teammate David Pollock here.
I still think when I'm comparing him, he's a more athletic Dak Prescott. So if I'm looking for a guy like that to build my future around, I think that's pretty daggum solid.
I want to make sure I'm understanding what you're saying. Are you telling me that if you were making the pick, you would consider taking Fields ahead of Lawrence as right now?
Yeah, I would start considering that now from what I'm seeing so far. And again, we're only two games in for Ohio State, but he's definitely on track to me to making this decision a lot more difficult than we thought it would be before the season.
All right, simple thing. Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields at number one will be like Peyton Manning and Ryan Leaf.
Nah, son. Wait, where's the Nah sun? You're supposed to have the sound. First of all, I just may be like a stupid old timer, right? Like, I get something stuck in my head. I can't get away from it. Like, I thought Sam Bradford was going to be a great NFL quarterback. I could never get away from it, right? Even as a problem, I kept waiting for it to happen. Andrew Luck, I thought, was going to be an all-time great. It never quite happened like that. He was very good, but he wasn't like an all-time great, and his career was short. Trevor Lawrence, maybe I got it stuck in my head because he was so young and inexperienced when he was so good. So part of that is you start thinking about the trajectory of his career. Wait, if he's already good at this age, what's he going to be in the next couple of years? I don't see him being appreciably better now than he was then. But I can't get out of my head what I saw from Trevor Lawrence, especially beating Alabama in the national title game the way he did. I know they have receivers and they have an offensive scheme and all that stuff and the athletes to do it. But he was better than Deshaun Watson beating the same team. You know, he didn't have to worry about, like, relying on some miracle play at the end. I thought he had a lot of the same kind of magic pixie dust that Deshaun Watson had, but in addition was better technically. But, you know, but maybe I'm just too stuck in that way of thinking. I take Trevor Lawrence.
Okay. Hey, you saw Devontae Adams go off last night. You agree with him when he says, hey, it's fair to say I'm the best wide receiver in the NFL.
It's fair to say. It's an argument. I don't think you're going to win the argument, but it's an argument. Like, so excuse me. Nah, son.
Thank you.
Oh, wait, excuse me. No. No doubt. It's fair to say.
Oh, no doubt.
Right. There are a bunch of guys who could make a fair claim to being the best. They're in the argument. I just don't think you'd win the argument. I think at this moment, the best argument's for Julio Jones. Julio Jones checks every single box, and he's the guy you really want.
All right. One thing I will say, I think Devontae scores more touchdowns than Julio.
That's not Julio Jones's fault.
All right. Well, he does have.
By the way, put Julio Jones on the Packers.
All right. Enough said. Hey, Ethan Hawke, remember him?
Sure.
He turns 50 years old today. Now, Training Day was Denzel's best movie.
By the way, Raj, they just got me. I took a tissue and my nose itched. So I'm like, in case the director, for some reason, puts me on screen, let me not just do this with my finger. And he got me right on the thing. Come on, guys.
Training Day, Denzel's best movie, yes or no? Not best acting,
no.
Best movie.
Nah, son. Denzel got better movies than Training Day. Training Day was pretty good. You could kind of see it coming, though. You see the MVP last night? Max Kellerman Show.
Thanks for listening to the Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.